If you would open your Bibles tonight for a few moments to the book of Ezra, chapter 8. Ezra, chapter 8. I've always looked at this book as sort of a preparatory to Nehemiah. And both of them, of course, involved in building. One a temple and the other a wall. You know, whenever it is that you make claim to something that God had said and by which you act in faith, it is always a challenge when you are called upon in those instances to step out and do by faith based on what God has said. I keep thinking about Noah in the Old Testament passage where at some point God had given him specific revelation that he was going to destroy the whole earth, and he wanted him to build an ark. Again, building is involved. And not only did he want him to build an ark, but he wanted a specific ark of certain dimensions. And that was not to be a sailing vessel, but a floater. And of course, when the flood waters would come, it would simply be lifted up off the ground and built in such a way as to be able to survive the horrible tempest, the great storm, the storm of storms, no doubt, that would fall upon the earth. It occurred to me that once Noah had received the instructions to build the ark, he began to do that. He began to build, and it took him quite a period of time to get that project completed. All the while, he was acting on faith. God told him to do something, didn't tell anybody else about it. God told him to do something, and he began to build. Year after year, he's living by faith. Faith stemming from something God said. You better be sure whenever you make the claim that God has instructed you to do something, that He has indeed instructed you to do it. Could you imagine after 120 years, the ark is all built, all polished up, ready to go. And Noah, no doubt, I say no doubt because I don't really know any more than anybody else does, but I would imagine that over the course of those decades, he was hounded as to what he was doing. Interspersed in his conversation were things like flood, things like rain, things that people around him had no personal experience of. Not a drop of rain ever fell on the earth in Noah's day in the typical manner that we understand it. Storms were not part of the vocabulary of the people of their time. Can you imagine when it finally was finished and everybody had listened? Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Preacher of righteousness in his sense is here's what you need to do to be right with the God who's bringing judgment. And the day finally came, the ark is finished, and the rains didn't come. The storm didn't come. Yes, the animals all were supernaturally led to the gate. Up the rampart they went in, loaded the ark, gets it all shut up, and the water never comes. Can you imagine how much of a fool Noah would have looked like? But beyond how foolish Noah would have looked, could you imagine the damage done to the testimony of his God? Hey, didn't old Noah say that this ark was being built because God was going to send a flood upon the whole earth? All the animals are on there. Listen to the racket that's inside, and where's the water? Where's the water? Maybe Noah dismissed the signal. Maybe there really wasn't any communication from God to do a specific thing. So I bring you to the book of Ezra tonight for a little bit of consideration about living by faith and the blessings to the people who do live by faith. Would you pray with me, please? We ask, dear God, tonight for your blessing. We ask for your blessing in reading, in hearing, and appropriating the Word of God. Give us, Lord, a food and nourishment for our souls tonight. And may we be able to take sufficient nourishment from this room that would carry us through the portion of the week ahead. Teach us, Lord, what it is in reality to live by faith. We count the numbers of people in days gone by who had to walk this path simply based on what you had communicated to them. They staked their claim in the field of faith, as it were, and set out on a course that was established by what you had said. You've called upon us to do the same thing. You've called upon us, as you did the apostles and the first century church, whose records we hold in our hand, to do very much the same, to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us in that, Lord, tonight to see the reality of it for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you would please, in Ezra chapter 8, the man is back to build the temple, and in verse number 21, Ezra is leading the people. He proclaimed a fast at the river for this purpose, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Please notice this strange phrase in the next verse. Because I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. I was ashamed because we had spoken unto the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated for us. Here you find the quandary that people of faith have as they stake out their claim. They stake out their claim based on what God would have them do. And in this particular instance, they come and they sought after God for a path forward. And in the previous chapters of the book of Ezra, no doubt people in authority, including people from the king all the way down were told how great Ezra's God was and how He can do anything and everything. And so now it's time to move out. And along the way there would be enemies predicted. No doubt the path would be filled with obstructions and problems. And here Ezra is declaring how shamed he was to even think about asking for protection from the king, believing that if God had ordered the path that he would choose, that he would provide himself the necessary provisions and the protections all along the way. And he felt that if he should ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to assist him on their way, that that was taking away from claims that he made about his God to conduct him forth. Now think about that in terms of another man who was called upon by God to lead a people, a Moses by name, out of Egypt. And you are all familiar with, I'm certain you're familiar with the commissioning that Moses and Aaron received at the burning bush. And of course Moses, the initial reluctance on his part. And then the time came that he had to approach the king, approach Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In each particular case where these plagues would be used by God to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, Moses was called upon first to go and make the claim. Moses, let my people go. And if you don't, God is going to do this tomorrow. Can you imagine upon making the claim initially that God would have failed to send the plague on time. How foolish Moses would have been, but more than that, how foolish God would have been made to look, because Moses makes this claim to Pharaoh. God said, here's, do this or else, and if Pharaoh called him on it, and God for some reason decided to change his mind, it would have made Moses look like a fool and made God look like a fool as well. But we know this much, that according to what we read here, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. We already have been repeating and rehearsing many times over in Romans 8:28. Not even going to recite the verse. You know what Romans 8:28 says. And so then we also understand that God, because God hath spoken, Ezra says, I was ashamed to ask. And then I think about this. It's a quote that I extracted from a devotional writer when he said, it is a most blessed thing to have no props, but to stand upright in the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Assured that if God has spoken, it shall be even as He has said. I mean, imagine, again, taking it fast forward into the New Testament storm chapter of Acts chapter 27, when the Apostle Paul tried to reassure the ship owner and the centurion and the sailors on board the vessel that they would all arrive safely at land. Right around them was swirling a vicious storm. They hadn't seen the light of day for over 2 weeks. And here comes this little Jew telling them that his God said that they would all arrive safe to land. Imagine if that would turn out not to be the case. The ship goes down and Paul passes by one of the other sailors or the ship's owner on a piece of wood. And he said, hey, buddy, didn't you tell us that your God was going to deliver us safely to land? What's up with this? God would have been made to look a fool. God always, when He communicates His intentions and His desires, He's always good for His word. So here in the case of Ezra, we can see then the dilemma that a child of God has who stakes out his claim of faith in God. God is able. Think about this. There's old Elijah standing, and is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. Standing there having a debate with the prophets of Baal. And then knowing what God has instructed him to do. Prophets of Baal go first, as you recall. And then it was that Elijah began to stake out his claim based on what God had said for him to do. And we know that in that chapter that God answered by fire. After He answered by fire and consumed entirely that water-soaked sacrifice that Elijah had made, just like He said He would do. But then what do you find on the very next scene or the narrative in Elijah's life? Because of Jezebel, her threats to him, he begins to run and go hide. He goes to hide. He goes to hide. Now, the same God who made the sacrifice disappear would be the same God who would protect him from the insults and the attempts at murder from the hands of Jezebel. Somewhere there is a failure on the part of the creature to make the connection between their life's narratives as we walk by faith. But think about this. Let me take you into the scriptures at a few places. And we are reminded in Matthew's gospel that where God has said that He would provide your food, your water, your clothing, on the premise that He feeds the beasts of the earth, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you think and you know to be necessary for your daily existence shall be given to you. But you must seek Him. Now that's a faith transaction. I want you to go with me into the book of Psalms. First of all, it's Psalm 65. Just notice a couple of places here. Psalm 65. And if you think about, again, how faith, God wants us to stake out our faith. Think about David. When David was anointed to be the future king of Israel, consider the time element. When David was anointed, who was still king? Saul was still the king. Saul was to be after him because he viewed David as a threat. Yet God had told David that he would be the next king. And yet for a time it would not seem on the human, from the human perspective, that that was going to materialize. Saul came so close on several occasions to eliminating the threat to his kingdom. And yet God said, you will be the king. Now there comes also that instance where there was that lamentable tragedy that occurred in David's life, that as king, he sinned. And yet God's program and his plan for David as the future king of Israel, as a matter of fact, the forerunner of the king of Israel, the son of David yet to come, would not be thwarted even by that heinous sin that he committed with Bathsheba. So we come here to Psalm 65 and verse 1, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Then he says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. You go over to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. As you stake out your walk of faith, your life of faith, Psalm 84, and we look at the length of this chapter, at the first verse, how amiable or lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Is it clear to you that God provides for the beasts that he makes? Every beast, God provides a place for them. You think with me again to that narrative in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, when he talks about the sparrows there, when he talks about the lilies of the field. God provides for all of his creation. The crown of his creation, the human being. And prefaced are all the things that he says about the beasts of the field that he provides for. Here being a case in point. Blessed, verse 4, are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our God, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Then at the bottom of this, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And so let us draw near to him. It is good for me, said the psalmist, Psalm 73, to draw near to God. Blessed is the man whom thou causest to approach unto thee. I want you to go back to the first psalm. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Staking out your claim to faith. Blessed is the man. A whole lot of things are said here. Happy, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man now that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So blessed is the man. There are an assortment of verses in the book of Psalms that underscore this truth about the blessing, the blessedness of the man that first of all trusts in him. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth and teachest. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. All of those in order in the book of Psalms. Then we get to the point of breakfast or nourishment for the soul. Over in Proverbs chapter 8, please. Proverbs chapter 8. And it swings on a key verse. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 34. Proverbs 8, 34. This is the great wisdom chapter. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now think about that. He heareth me daily. He heareth me daily. Nourishment for the soul. We find the encouragement and the admonition in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 4, that we who are to be nourished up must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I would add to you this much, that it should be daily. He that heareth me daily is nourished up. We go again into the New Testament to the point of having a breakfast for the soul. I come back to the man Elijah as we conclude our study, our look into the scriptures tonight. But you know, when he was sitting under the tree, he had a meal there. He was he had a meal there, and in 1 Kings 19, verse 8, it is said that he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. All the strength supplied to us by our gracious God is meant for service. He that hears me daily, Elijah sat under that tree demoralized because of the threats that were made against him by the wicked Queen Jezebel. And when he was ministered to by angels, as I would have it, he was fed a meal. And it occurs to me that when you come to the temptation of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, that it was said that he hungered for 40 days, 40 nights. I have to assume that he either had been fed so as to serve before the temptation, or that he had been there at the place of temptation for that length of time without a nourishment. But then it says that the angels came and ministered to him. For what? If you follow from Matthew chapter 4, the rest of the way through the Gospel of Matthew, he went forth to serve. And so what is the point for the daily hearing at the feet of God. It is as would be in the case of Elijah, who went from that occasion under the juniper tree 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of that meal. The Lord Jesus invited his disciples, if you would think with me, in the Gospel of John, he invited his disciples to come and dine. And then he says to Peter, at the end of John chapter 21, feed my sheep. Following the feeding is the exhortation to follow me. When you think about the Passover meal, the Old Testament Passover meal in the book of Exodus chapter 12, they were to eat with their loins girded, with their staff in hand, and then go. Go. The Lord feeds and refreshes our souls that we may afterwards use our renewed strength in the promotion of His glory. So whenever we cycle back to Ezra, who in the course of building and now is being prepared to move, the man was blushing to even think of having to ask the king for a security guard as he would be on the go. If God has said, if God has revealed, if He has communicated His wishes to us, we can take it as a rule that He's always good for His word. The point of having, in each and every occasion, on a day-by-day routine, a meeting with God, a feeding from the Word of God, is to gather strength sufficient to proceed forward in service. Never ashamed that where God calls us to walk by faith, never ashamed to simply step out and trust Him to bring us to a safe place down the road. And we are able to gain that strength, have the strength sufficient by what we gain from His Word, the very bread of life. Would you pray with me, please, tonight? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Scriptures. I thank You for Your strength minute by minute, step by step, day by day. Keep us, Lord, straight on the path. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.